Now,
Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet,
brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Now your hosts,
Lauren Brooks,
Donna Murphy, and Taylor Dahl.
What a fantastic week it has been. Donna, is it strange to be live on air between 6 and 8 p.m. on a Friday?
I drove in and Tom McManus was like, "That's it. I'm so excited. Today's my last day." And I'm like, "Wait, today's Friday? Are you sure?" And I was like, "I have no idea what day it is today."
Quick funny story. I heard McManus say, well, actually, I didn't hear it. Brian heard it, but Brian, my boyfriend, told me about it. So we were originally going to a party tonight, and I'm not even going to tell you the theme of the party because I don't even know if you can say it on air, but it rhymes with wimp and bow.
Okay, so it's the same party as McManus.
So it's the same. I didn't even know that he knows the good family friend who I worked for a few years. It's his 50th birthday party tonight.
I'm going to say he's going as a wimp.
That's what I'm going to guess, yes. That's a good call. But so we decided not to go just because, you know, our show's now on till later and we have to get up early tomorrow and go to a friend's wedding, which is why I unfortunately will not be at the 1 hour that they allow us to go see the Jaguars rookie minicamp practice, but that's neither here nor there. But so I thought that was so funny that had I gone to the party, he would have been there and it would have been really fun to see him outside of 1010XL. All right, so last night was such a fun night. Thank you to Mr. Yes. Chubbies and everybody who came out to support us, and I hope everyone had an absolute blast. Certainly, your friend Taylor, who ended up winning the $50 mark yes. to Mr. Chubbies, had a really good time. But we had David Garrard on, his wife on. We also had Blythe Brumley join us, who used to be on this show. Like, it was just, it's just been a great week, and it was a lot of fun. But during the conversation with DG9, he mentioned Zach Miller, and then you mentioned him on Twitter today?
Yes. Yeah, so going back, I have the clip real fast of just that conversation, but we were talking about how, like, the schedule, and we kind of mentioned how, what the, you know, which game would be the hardest, and at first I can't remember which one he said at first, but then he was like, "Well, let me take that back. I didn't know we were going to Seattle. That's going to be difficult. It's so loud."
I think he said at Tennessee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Because he's like, "I could not win at Tennessee." But RJ, play that clip real quick for me.
He's literally standing tight end right there. I'm in a shotgun, and I'm trying to get him to run a different route. It wasn't a route where I could signal it. So I'm just screaming at him. And he actually runs to me, and I scream at him. He still couldn't even hear me. Wow. My face mask was touching his. It was so loud.
So, first of all, if you already don't think that David Garrard is just one of the nicest guys in the world, this will make you believe that even more. So that clip in it, he's talking about Zach Miller. And so he says,
and how loud it is in Seattle.
And he mentions that he didn't have a signal for the particular play, so he had to scream at him. So I tweeted and I said, you know, talking to David Garrard on Helmets last night, and he brought up a funny story from Seattle and I tagged Zach Miller, and I was like, and it reminded me of how much I miss Miller. I loved Zach Miller in Chicago, and unfortunately his career ended because of a really bad injury. But Zach actually replied to that tweet and said, "Oh my, I hope this wasn't about him giving me signals that I had no idea the meaning of." So Garrard was trying to protect Zach Miller and tell him there was no signals for this call, but Zach had no idea what the signals were, so he had to run to Garrard and say, "Huh?
I did not study my playbook as well as I should have." That sounds familiar for a former quarterback.
Like, maybe that's why it didn't work in maybe that's why he didn't work as well in Jacksonville. Maybe he learned to study the playbook as he went to Chicago. That's pretty great.
Well, that is great. And David, for people who've never met him, I mean, he was a terrific quarterback. He is an even better person. Yes. Husband, father, guest on the show. I mean, he is just wonderful. So thanks again to them. Thanks to all of the guests that we've had. And the guests continue tonight. We are going to talk to Amy Lawrence coming up shortly. We're also going to talk to Brian DiArdo. And then Allie McDeal will join us at 7:20. And Mia O'Brien from First Coast News will be with us from 7 to 8 p.m. Donna, I have heard a lot of people say what you and I said, and that is that the best regular season game, some are saying ever potentially, but the best regular season game on the 2021 NFL schedule is the fact that Tom Brady and the Bucs go to Foxborough. Yes. It's the first time that Brady will play against Belichick in New England. How much are those tickets going for?
A whole lot of money. I mean, a whole lot of money. The highest, what did we say it was? The highest $12,000 On Ticketmaster, and according to Vivid
Seats. For a regular season game.
Regular season game. Exactly, RJ. And this is not, there's no playoff implications. This is early in the season. This is week four. So it's not going to be cold. There's not going to be any implications for this game. It's ridiculous. The lowest, though, right now is $1,300. Almost $1,400. So it's like $1,370. My husband hates when I go low. Is, you know, 1370
rather than rounding up.
Yeah, I don't round
over
up.
50.
Yeah,
round
no,
up.
I always round. I round down. So it's 1300. No, it's almost $1,400.
That's how a lot of wives do it.
That's how I do it. So yeah, we had a funny conversation when I called my mom this morning. I don't know what day it is. Whatever. One
it
of the mornings.
Friday.
And my brother was on their house phone, on speakerphone with my parents, and he's trying to figure out how he can take his son to this game, and he wants to go the game, but the lowest price he was finding at the time was $1,000. And I was like, and that was for one ticket, and obviously he needs two,
oh, right.
But no, he doesn't want two, he wants four, because he wants him, and my other brother, and my dad to go. And my mom's like, what am I? I'm the football fan of the family. Why are you not asking me? But I'm not paying $1,000 for this ticket. It was a whole family deal. And I'm like, you guys are insane, because I would not pay. This is the game, you know, game of the year, you would think, of the regular season.
But it's going
to
be on TV.
But it's ridiculous. It's absolutely insane. So here's the question, though. Okay, uh-huh. It is insane to pay. And so I thought of this question because I didn't pose it to you guys in the original rundown email. I just posed it to you here on this. Mm-hmm. So as Jags fans, it's Super Bowl. Just think Jags are finally in it. Say it's this year. Say it's next year. Whatever it is. Jags are in the Super Bowl. Is there a limit to the price you pay?
Yes.
What is the
called
price?
My bank account.
Right?
That is my, no.
Do you throw down all the credit cards you get accepted for?
I don't.
What is the price?
Yeah, I get that, and I understand how it must feel to have your team playing for something so incredibly amazing, unless you're a Patriots fan and it happens every year back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm someone who I probably would never spend more than $1,000 on any ticket. Like, I don't care if it was my favorite artist in concert. I don't care if it was the Super Bowl. I just, fiscally, that would be irresponsible for me to spend more than that. Granted, I don't have the kind of money a lot of people have. But, yeah, I would feel like I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I spent more than $1,000. Which, that's not going to get you into the Super Bowl. You're probably going to spend about $5,000 per ticket unless you know, won tickets or something like that or got to go as a media member. But to me, if the Jaguars actually won a Super Bowl, I would want to be surrounded by so many people that have loved this team for so long, and they wouldn't be at that game. I mean, you wouldn't be able to get, you know,
I mean, the
20
parade
plus
itself
people.
Would be
right.
Amazing.
Yeah. So for me, I wouldn't spend a great deal and make a big ordeal about it, because I would rather be at like a house party with 50 of my closest friends celebrating a moment like that. Or crying in the case of the time that we lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship and we cried.
Mm. Yes.
Taylor.
I would spend a lot of money on a Super Bowl ticket. This is where my fandom comes in, though, that I would spend more for a Bears Super Bowl ticket than I would a Jags Super Bowl ticket.
Did you go to the last Bears Super Bowl?
No, I did not. 16... Yeah, number one, there was no way I could afford that. I don't even think I had a job at that time, so that was
that
not happening.
It challenging.
That was not.
When you say you'd spend a lot on Bears Super Bowl, like, what are we talking?
And I don't know, because, again, it goes with how much I actually have. Like,
right.
I'm not even close to, like, a millionaire, even a, like, thousandaire, so I don't know. But I will tell you that I would, like, if I knew, because obviously you don't really know until that week before or the couple weeks before if you are actually going to the Super Bowl. But, I mean, if it was like how the 85 Bears were and they were like, oh, it's happening, and you kind of had, you know, you had this good feeling about it and the leading up to the – I would that month literally save every dime and be like, I'm not going to go out to eat. I'm not going to go buy clothes. I'm not going to spend any extra money. I'll pay my bills. Everything else I can put towards a Super Bowl ticket. If I have to use like a credit card, I will. I don't know what that limit is, just because I don't, like, it would really have to be based on what I actually have. But I would give everything that I had for that season extra and money to be able to see the Bears in person in a Super Bowl. Like, to me, it'd be great to like be around my family and stuff, and that I don't think that would take away from the moment, but I'm a big, like, experience. I want to be there. I want to live it. And I love being able to later being like, oh man, I saw Aaron Rodgers and Jay Cutler at Soldier Field on this day, blah, blah, blah. Like, I like being able to say that and talk about certain players that I was able to see in person, and that's for baseball and football. So to me, that would be like, I would try everything I could possibly to go see that in person.
$5,000.
If I could be able to do that and still live my life, be able to pay my bills and get by, I wouldn't be one of those people that are like, well, I'm not going to eat because I like food, so that's not happening. But
I mean, what happens if it's Bears Jags in the Super Bowl?
I know, and I was actually when this question got brought up, that'd be the first thing. That was the first thing I thought about, and I'm like, that would be hard for me because, like I said, the Bears are number one. So if the Jags won, it would be like cool, but my heart would still be broken.
Right.
So if the Bears won, my heart wouldn't be broken whatsoever. So it would be a little torn for me, because I still would be excited. I was born here and I've been here for a long time, and now covering it makes sure fandom like even a little stronger. But the Bears have been day one, and my entire family is Bears day one. So that one would be a stressful Super Bowl for me.
Would you go by yourself to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I've been to a lot of games by myself, okay. So I don't have a problem with that at all. Like, I'm that person. I mean, and that's part of it. I've spent almost $500 on a regular season ticket to a Bears game to go sit by myself. So $500 more to see. I can't compare a Tom Brady coming back because Bears have never had anything close to that. But if it was like, whatever, the return of like Brian Urlacher comes back and it's this for a different team, and then it comes back to Chicago and it's this big thing, like maybe something like that, I would spend a lot of money to go witness a game like that.
See, I would never want to be there by myself because I feel like the moment my team wins, I'd be looking around like, who am I gonna hug? They're hugging each other, like, high fives, yep, when you're done, okay. Like, I'm just such a person that I would want to have that person to hug and jump up and down with, you know, and or cry with again if you lose.
Well, when you're in those moments, like I've been at games for both wins and losses by myself, and they're still like, you become friends with the people around you, especially when you're by yourself, because people kind of notice and they're like, oh, are you here alone? And you're like, yeah. And then they're usually like, that's cool. Like, you know, number one, you're a woman by yourself at a football game, so you really care. But also, like, you're screaming and yelling and you're actually invested in this team. So I've made actually two of my best friends from being by myself at a Bears game.
Oh, that's
very cool.
They
sat behind me, and now, like, that was in 2013, and we're still friends. When he comes here, we hang out. When I go to Chicago, we hang out. So it's really cool.
I've been to Jaguars games alone, but I wouldn't usually pay that much. Like, that was getting like the cheapest ticket, and then I would go stand in what at the time was the Clevelander and now FanDuelville.
D-Mark,
what about you? What would you spend? What would you drop? What would hubby let you drop?
Oh, that's a different question.
Spend versus what would he allow?
Those are two different questions. Probably back in my heyday of, you know, being loose with the credit card. Yeah, I would say probably maybe $2,000.
Okay.
What?
In line with
me. Oh, my God, that just scared me.
Yeah.
I just jumped out of my seat.
Yeah. Probably. Well, two? That's why I said back in my heyday, loose with the credit card.
But see, that's
You're
funny,
saying
like,
two for the Super Bowl or two for this Brady return? Would you pay $1,000 to go see Brady return to New England?
Yeah, if my husband wasn't breathing down my neck, probably, yeah.
But you'd spend $2,000 for a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
See,
I am more mature now, and I find it stupid now to do that. But yes, if I was much younger, yes, I would definitely throw down that card.
Well, people can get involved if they want to tweet us or text us on the 10-10
What would you pay?
Designed by Lifetime Enclosures. What would you pay? Yeah. For some people, that might be $100,000.
Not for the Brady game. You don't need to. I know you don't care about going to that.
For Jaguar Super Bowl.
Jaguar Super Bowl. What? Is there a limit? I don't think there would be a limit. Right now, Trevor Lawrence leads you to that Super Bowl. I think there is no limit.
For some people, there's not. And for those people, they have deeper pockets than others. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more Jaguars. We're going to talk rookies, because rookie minicamp is actually started today, but tomorrow media gets to go for 1 hour. We will talk about that. Coming up next, you are listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
It's
to blast through the past. Alumni Week on 1010XL.
7 years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Ladies, Alumni Week has been a lot of fun. We've had 4 days and a lot of guests, a lot of rehashing the past with Amanda Borges and Jessica Blaylock. We had a lot of fun with David Garrard yesterday and his wife, Mary.
I think more reminiscing than rehashing. Rehashing sounds like we've been fighting over the past.
Maybe there was some and we didn't.
Maybe there was a little angst on Monday when we first started the show with Tebow stuff. But other than that, I think we've been more reminiscing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So now here we are. It's Friday. Today was the first official day of rookie mini camps. And tomorrow is the first day where media can be there. We're joined. So
can someone go for me since I can't go, please?
I can't believe you're missing it.
Go. Her and I will chit-chat.
No, I'm saying I can't go to rookie mini camp. I don't need to leave.
Can I just leave?
No, I don't need to leave. I'm planning on being here. No, I want to go to rookie mini camp, but I'll be at a friend's wedding tomorrow that's out of town, and so I cannot go to the 1 hour. I know. Well, I feel bad. I can't skip her wedding. It was supposed to be last year, and it was canceled due to COVID or postponed due to COVID.
You can't zoom in.
Can someone just put a tablet
in one of the chairs?
No, but fun story, since her wedding is on her farm, or it's her like fiance's family's farm, we are camping tomorrow night.
Oh.
Yeah, during the wedding. During the wedding, but after the wedding, we're camping on site. Everybody else has campers. We have a tent, so we will be sleeping.
But you're actually going to camp, though. You're actually going to have a tent.
We're going to have a tent, yeah.
Okay.
She always has a tent, but she has an air mattress. Yeah, an air mattress.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be up off the ground.
That's still camping.
But either way, I cannot go, so Taylor, can you go for me tomorrow?
I wish I could, actually. I don't think I...
qualify?
Yeah. I don't think I did. So unfortunately, because that would be, I mean, that's one of those moments where you're like, man, I was at that first hour ever that Trevor Lawrence was
stretching.
But still, you saw him stretch for the first time as a Jaguar.
He's going to be limited. So I do wonder, does that mean like he's going to only throw a ball 5 feet versus 25 yards?
And that's
or is he really just not going to have a ball in his hand?
And I was reading today, they were saying they don't even know to what extent we're going to see him yet. So like you said, it could be just like his hair blowing and stretching, or maybe a couple thrown balls or nothing at all. So maybe he's just standing there looking nice and like encouraging everybody else to practice good. So that's the obvious. That's the obvious is Trevor Lawrence. And I think maybe even Travis Etienne, with both being the first round picks from this year. But if you could name another guy, that you're excited for in this mini camp from the rookies, or maybe that you want to see succeed through this, who would it be, Lauren?
For me, I would have my eyes on Tyson Campbell, the next pick, the 33rd pick overall, because the Jaguars spent money on Shaq Griffin in free agency. They already drafted, now granted not this regime, well, Balky was there, but the previous regime drafted C.J. Henderson 9th overall. We've heard good things about him from Urban Meyer. And then they went ahead and with that third pick, that's a coveted pick, there in the top of the second round, they went with another cornerback. So Tyson Campbell out of Georgia, you know, I watched obviously a lot of Georgia football throughout the season. I don't remember him making a ton of splash plays. He only had one interception in his career, so obviously he didn't have necessarily a ton of those. But as far as pass breakup, stuff like that, I didn't watch him specifically. So I would want to see just how fast he is. And I mean, we're not going to see him going up, obviously, against the best receivers because they're not going to be there tomorrow. It's just the rookies. But I still think you could see his quickness, his agility, and things like that. That's one guy I would have my eye on.
Yeah, I think that is a good one because, like you said, I remember when they got Shaq Griffin and everyone was like, oh, like maybe he's not very confident in C.J. Henderson. And then you get Tyson Campbell, too, and everyone's like, oh, maybe he's really not. I think it's good to bring in competition like that. And we say that every year to, you know, certain position groups. But in that position group, it was rough last year. So to kind of push, if this either pushes C.J. Henderson to be even better, or maybe we find a better guy in this. So whatever work, hopefully either way, it works out in the positive.
Well, and we know that they're going to work him out both at nickel and at outside corner. Mm-hmm. So it's not just competition for C.J. Henderson, but it's also, I think, grooming him to be the starting nickel corner and then going in relief if one of those two guys, Griffin or Henderson, get hurt. But it's good to have depth there for sure. I mean, it's a passing league. Your DBs are incredibly important, and they weren't strong in that position group a season ago. And so, yeah, this does push a guy like Trey Herndon, who probably was the kind of penciled in automatic nickel before this.
That's a little question mark. Donna, what about you?
I am going to go with tight end Luke Farrell. Mm. And that is because I am expecting a lot out of the tight end position. And in the tight end position, I want actual tight ends. Mm-hmm. And so that is Luke Farrell. So out of Ohio State, I'm looking for this 6'6", 250-pounder to I know that they said he really wasn't much of a pass catcher, but he did have some. He had, I think, almost 35 catches for just under 400 yards. So that's not too bad, you know, for a tight end. Which was, I guess, their like second tight end at Ohio State. So I'm looking.
Especially, they didn't utilize him a ton. Especially.
No. Yeah. No. So, and, you know, we know that Trevor Lawrence didn't have really good tight ends at Clemson. So I'm looking for Luke Farrell to shine as a rookie here in rookie minicamp. In the short, little, tiny three-day rookie minicamp that we have. But I'm looking for Luke Farrell to shine.
I would say don't hold your breath only because I feel like because they're not going to be able to.
I know,
do practice
much,
stuff.
Right.
Yeah, do a whole lot.
Well,
they only
I'm
have
looking
like,
for
18
the,
or 23 guys.
For the 6'6", 250
so you
want to
see
pound
blocking.
Guy to shine.
You want to see him hitting that sled potentially.
Yes, I do.
What about you, Taylor?
I'm going with Walker Little. Okay. I think that.
Who's the opposite of Little?
Yes, he is not Little. I had a big question mark around this guy just because of the injury. He was injured in 2019, and then 2020 he opted out. Which was a mutual agreement. It wasn't anything bad, but, you know, there was a lot of question marks around last season for a lot of people. He's played a game in two years, which is a little scary when you first hear it. But everybody that I've heard on air from different, you know, different reporters, mm-hmm. different scouts, different media, they talked to one of his coaches also, and every single person talks about what an absolute monster this guy is. And they go on and on and on about his strengths. And a lot of that is just like how quick he sees rushes, which we need that. We need as much protection around Trevor as we possibly can have. And if he is what a lot of these guys say he can be, then it's big for the offensive line for the Jags, number one. I also just want to see the injury part of it. I want to see how fresh he looks and how just sturdy, because a lot of the weaknesses that they were saying in the scouting report were all surrounded kind of around that, like core strength, not top notch. There was a lot, they said he stiffened his knees a lot, which is a little scary for a guy who had a knee injury. That's when you get injured, when you're too stiff or you don't have that core strength.
Since when has an offensive lineman had good core strength?
Yeah,
this would be my question.
Well, and
a fit one.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah. And that was like all the scouting reports were saying that was like one of the biggest criticisms. And it all was kind of stemming from that's probably why he got that injury, mm-hmm. was a lot of those little things.
He should start doing Body Fit by Amy online, where she focuses on core. Come on, Walker.
Yes.
There's free resources out there. Let's go.
I just think that I want to see, like I said, if everyone's saying what they said, that all the scouting reports said these weaknesses were compared to what coaches are saying, that he's made a lot of improvements. And within this last couple years after injury and with last year opting out, he was still working out like crazy, they're all saying, and he's even stronger than he was when he was playing. So I'm really interested to see Walker Little.
Well, that's not a bad one. I mean, everybody, like you said, including on this station, have been raving about wanting to see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's exciting. Again, I don't know, especially with just the 1 hour, I don't know exactly how much media is going to be able to see and what they're going to showcase as far as drills are concerned. But a guy like Andre Sisco, who I think might be this massive playmaker that this secondary really needed, it's going to be hard, though, to be able to see anything out of him during this type of stuff. Like, until the pads go on and hitting starts, that's when you're going to see a guy like Andre Sisco flash. Yeah. That's why, for me, I would pick a guy like Tyson Campbell, because that's probably – I can see speed pretty easily and agility. I can't necessarily see the blocking – whether or not the blocking tight end is doing his job well when they're not actually in pads. But either way, we get to see football.
Yes.
I just won't be there.
Yeah, and I think that when I'm saying this, I'm more of thinking – not me personally, obviously, because I'm not going to be there anyway to watch it, but just after these 3 days of camp, hearing positives like, okay, he looks strong. Okay, he looks like injuries not bothering him. Okay, this. And I think you can. They'll be able to tell that pretty quick if he's, you know, ready to play football, or if they're like, knee's not looking good. This isn't 100%. It's also kind of maybe a question after, especially last year with James Robinson coming out undrafted. There's six undrafted guys that the Jags got. So are any of these guys going to make there's a few receivers and then some more defensive backs. So are any of these guys going to make any sort of, you know, big
splashes?
Yeah, any splashes.
Dylan Moses, who's coming off of an injury from Alabama. I mean, I remember 2 years ago him being talked about as a potentially first or second round draft guy. And then to go undrafted, I'm sure, was a really sad day for him. But his head coach and Nick Saban recently talked about how he feels like he's going to be a Drew Brees-like player, where some doctors got it wrong as far as the medical being negative for him. So certainly he's a guy I know people are going to be watching tomorrow. And it's exciting. Football, at least in a little dose, is here.
It is. We're going to get to a little more football, and we're going to talk to Amy Lawrence. You hear her super early on the mornings right here on CBS Sports Radio before all of our programming starts. So stay tuned for Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Sports with a glass of Chardonnay, Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Joining us now, you hear her before Dan and Jeff, because nothing's better than listening to Amy Lawrence in the morning. That is right, it is Amy Lawrence with CBS Sports. Amy, how are you?
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. I'm good. I'm really happy it's Friday. So happy, or as I like to say, happy Friday.
I am with you. Happy Friday. Yes, exactly. Well, it's alumni week here on 1010XL. So we brought you back to be a part of our alumni week. So thank you for coming back on with us.
Well, I think that's awesome. I'm in the club after just one interview. So this is number two. So now I'm officially part of the gang.
You are. You definitely are. Well, we want to ask you right off the bat, because obviously what else to talk about? Well, there's plenty to talk about in the world of the NFL. But Aaron Rodgers, what is your take on this debacle in Green Bay?
Honestly, I feel like if the Packers can just ride this wave out, that we're going to look back on this and maybe laugh at it a little bit. I get now, because it's Aaron Rodgers, he's the reigning MVP. Gosh, he's turning into a bit of a diva, is he not, in his old age? He's not happy with the way that he perceives the team is being run, and that goes back to last year and maybe even predates the drafting of Jordan Love. But I look at this in a couple of different ways. Number one, it's his contract. Even if he decides to retire, which I can't imagine, we'll deal with that in a second, but even if he decides to be that stubborn and retire, it's not as though the Packers are just going to allow him to walk away and go play for another team. They still have his rights for three more years. So yeah, he can retire, and then by the time he's 40, or I guess he's 36, 37. By the time he's 40, well, then he'd be free to go play again, and by then it would be too late. So I look at it that way. Retirement's not really an option unless he's willing to go through this high-stakes game of chicken. And didn't the Packers just draft his replacement? So it's almost like saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and forfeit all the money that's in my contract. I'm going to walk away on principle. And by the way, I'm going to clear the deck for Jordan Love. And so that's one thing. Number two, reason why I don't think that they need to do anything right now, other than maybe talk to him and try to smooth him over, is that I look at Aaron and the how hyper competitive he is and the way last season ended. And as much as people want to blame the front office for drafting a quarterback and not drafting a receiver, that's BS, you guys. They had the best offense in the NFL last season. The reason they lost the NFC Championship is not because they didn't have another receiver. I mean, that's not what happened. They're coming off back-to-back 13-3 seasons. The GM, the front office, put together a great team, a team that could have won a Super Bowl, or at the very least gotten to the Super Bowl. They choked in the second half of the NFC Championship. Tom Brady threw three interceptions, and what did they do with it? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing. So you cannot blame a front office for a team that went 13-3 and you had it on your own field on a silver platter and you do nothing with it. That's on the players. It's on Aaron. It's not on the front office. So I just can't imagine he wants to walk away like that. And also my last point is that the two sides are better together, right? The Packers are a Super Bowl contender with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think anyone's under the guise that they would be as good with Jordan Love. But the other side is also true. Aaron is treated like royalty in Green Bay, and I know this because my dad's whole side of the family is from Wisconsin. My uncle lives just south of Green Bay, as does my now 99-year-old grandmother. She thinks, by the way, his name is Arian Rodgers, and I don't bother to correct her. I think it's so cute. She watched him on Jeopardy. Anyway, so the Packers are a Super Bowl contender with Rodgers, and Rodgers isn't going to go anywhere else where, especially now, I mean, the draft is over. Teams have already given up the capital they're going to give up to make big quarterback moves. If he goes to Denver, they don't automatically become a Super Bowl contender. And hell, they play in the AFC West, right? I mean, the AFC is infinitely more difficult than the NFC is right now anyway. So I just think that when the dust settles, maybe this is about more money. Maybe Aaron's just trying to get back at the team for what he feels like was their embarrassing pick of Jordan Love, which that I understand. He holds grudges. We know that's true. He's been holding a grudge about the draft, his own draft, since 2005. So maybe it's just him playing games. Ultimately, I hope they do nothing. I think the Packers should do nothing unless they want to give him more money. And they may not, right? Because they may not want to commit to him for another 5 years. They may feel like they'll be ready to move to Jordan Love in a couple seasons. So, I mean, yeah, it's messy and it's a big pain in the rear end. But I don't think they need to do anything. And ultimately, I think it will die down because I don't believe Rodgers wants to retire.
Well, and Amy, I think it's a really tricky situation, like you said, because it really doesn't feel like either side has leverage. And that's kind of how I felt about the whole Deshaun Watson Texan situation. But that was before all of the allegations. But either way, we'll move on from Rodgers. Here in Jacksonville, we are excited that rookie minicamp is about to begin. Of the quarterbacks that were drafted, you've got Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Mac Jones up with the Patriots, Justin Fields, and obviously Zach Wilson. I'm leaving him for last just because we're still thankful for the Jets for winning that second game. Which of those quarterbacks do you think is going to be the best?
Well, it's hard, right, when you're rookies, but I do feel like Trevor Lawrence has the most complete set of tools in his toolbox. I've talked to a couple GMs about this. How do you know when rookies are ready? How do you know when you are safe to throw them in the fire and that even if they don't succeed immediately, you're not going to do such unbelievable damage to their confidence? And so Trevor Lawrence not only has the tools on the field, the physical football tools that are honed and that have been tested in fire at the highest levels of college football. Same thing with Mac Jones. He just doesn't have nearly as many starts under his belt, but he came through the Nick Saban school, which, I mean, every NFL team will tell you, products out of Alabama are generally more prepared. But that's also going to be the case with the Trevor Lawrence, who's been in the spotlight for years now. Dabo Swinney, who, of course, came from the Nick Saban tree, has prepared him for this. He's a mature young man, already married. I mean, he was a main catalyst behind the We Want to Play movement, and I think we talked about that last time. Mentally and physically, he's equipped, and he's ready because he's been on this stage before. He's been under the white, harsh spotlight. And so I think that probably causes him to stand out a little bit from the others. Now, does Zach Wilson have the tools? Yes, but he's raw and he's not played in the same stage and it takes some adjusting to get used to what is the constant, never-ending mad crush of attention and interest in the NFL, not to mention how competitive it is, right? And while I know the Jaguars are a team that, you know, is in rebuild mode, as are the Jets, and I certainly love Robert Saleh, I think the fact that you have a quarterback in Trevor Lawrence who's closer to being ready for everything that comes with jumping into the pro game, to me, it's not just about the physical tools. It's also about his experience, and it's about the fact that he's got a great teacher. Now, Urban Meyer's, that's another piece of this. So at least with the Jets, Robert Saleh has been in the NFL, and you look at Mac Jones, who, I mean, he won the lottery, right? He gets to go and play for Bill Belichick. And again, we know Mac Jones is going to be okay with that because he came from Nick Saban, where it's Nick's way or the highway, similar to Belichick in New England. And so he definitely hit the jackpot there, but doesn't have as many starts either. So he's a little raw. So I think Trevor and Urban Meyer, it's great that they can come in together at the ground level. And honestly, you guys, I know people are criticizing the pick and maybe the Jaguars' reach for Travis Etienne, but I like it. I think it gives a little more comfortability to Trevor Lawrence. Anytime a player is happy, is comfortable, is familiar, and can kind of not be thinking about all the externals, if you can take one more factor, one more kind of distraction or worry off his plate, well, then he's quicker to get into a comfort zone. And so I think having people around him that he's familiar with, that's a great idea. Not to mention, I mean, Etienne is versatile, and obviously we know what he can do on the field. And so maybe they reached a little bit, but they had plenty of draft picks, and they were trying to I think, bring someone in who would make Trevor Lawrence more comfortable. So there may be a learning curve, but not as steep with Trevor as there is with the other quarterbacks.
Now, Amy, I want to bounce off the drafted quarterbacks a little bit. The order that they were, so we have Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, Fields, and Jones. Were you surprised in of that particular order that they were drafted, or is that kind of what you predicted?
Well, I the part that we were all waiting on was the San Francisco 49ers, right? Mm-hmm. And while I wasn't sure, I didn't think Mac Jones felt like a fit there. That had been the report that the Niners were going to go after Jones, and we knew the dominoes would topple from that number three pick on. So I guess the part that surprised me a little bit was the going after the Trey Lance. Now, Kyle Shanahan, he's a quarterback guy. This is what, you know, this is where his butt is buttered. that's because it's Friday afternoon, and I don't tell anyone that, okay? I don't think I could even do that again. That is where his butt is buttered. What did I say? Something like that. That is where, sorry, that is where his, now I can't do it, his bread is buttered, yes. Is that he's a quarterback guy, and clearly he saw what he wanted in Trey Lance. So that would surprise me a little bit because Trey is so raw. But then you think about the situation with the Niners, they're in a perfect situation to bring up a young QB because they've said over and over that they want Jimmy Garoppolo to be their starter for this year, that they feel like they're a Super Bowl contender if Jimmy is healthy and on the field. So it makes sense when you think about it from that perspective. Obviously a little bit surprising about the Bears and Justin Fields. I mean, I'm happy for him. I don't know what happens in that QB situation. Andy Dalton has a decade of experience, and I hope he can get acclimated quickly because I think it also behooves Justin to maybe sit back and watch a little bit. But that would surprise me because I don't know that many people were talking about Justin and the Bears together. That was one that, you know, you had to see some jostling. So the fact that Justin was still available there and that potentially he could have gone to New England if, but then you think, okay, Bill Belichick, mad scientist, maybe he liked Mac Jones all along because of his connection with Saban and how much he loves Alabama products. So, yeah, the whole thing is fascinating, I think. I got to tell you, I'm most happy for Mac Jones because he didn't end up getting selected high, you know, as many people were thinking he might by the Niners, but he ended in a perfect situation. And you all know, I'm sure you saw it, just like the rest of the world, the way he walks, yes, when he gets drafted, he knows. I mean, this is what he wanted all along, which is what he said to the commissioner. So outside of Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer and that pairing, I don't feel like there's a match made in heaven that's any closer than what, you know, Mac Jones and Bill Belichick get to do together. And I think it's really cool. I'm so glad he's happy, you know, because that to me seems like the perfect training ground. Not to mention, again, he doesn't need to start right away, and Belichick can take his time and potentially groom, finally, Tom Brady's replacement. Oh, my gosh. His butt is breaded. Is that what
his
I said?
Butt is
You guys, I'm so sorry. I'm an idiot.
Well, and quick, just real quick, Amy, because on the Mac Jones topic, he went to a local school here in Bulls and had a coach in Corky Rogers who was absolutely phenomenal, a legend high school coach here, and then goes to Saban and now is Belichick. So the path of coaches that he gets to learn from is just incredible.
Jackpot. Seriously, jackpot. I mean, any player who's serious about winning wants to be in New England. And the fact that Mac Jones, again, knows, is familiar with what it's like to be trained by an intense coach with very high expectations, this is not going to faze him. He's really smart. His personality fits. And you could see the joy on his face and in his walk. So, yeah, I love that pairing. But I'm also anxious to see what these other young QBs do. Honestly, if the Niners are starting Trey Lance, something went horribly wrong. Like, that's not supposed to be happening. But, like, the Bears, you know, it's interesting. Justin's different than Dalton. Justin has a different athletic skill set. I mean, Dalton, again, has the experience, has a rocket for an arm, but that was never supposed to be a long-term plan anyway. So how quickly do they, you know, do they change over there? And then, of course, if the Packers end up starting Jordan Love, well, then we've got another young QB who will be making his NFL debut this year.
All right, Amy, I know you just got back from vacation this week, and it's also Friday afternoon. So I'm going to challenge your brain with a few rapid-fire questions for you.
Okay, all right, I'm ready. I can do this. Bud and breaded, we can do this.
I will not ask about bread or butter. What time do you wake up for work?
Oh, in the afternoon, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't start working on stuff until probably about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but I usually am awake by 3:30 because the dog and the cat are staring at me and making funny noises like, Mom, hey, it's time to get up. So I would say probably I do my initial round of work around 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, email, just kind of social media stuff. And then once games start in the evenings, I'm all in, kind of taking notes and watching. But if you're asking about my sleep schedule is from roughly 8:30 to about 3:30, 3:45.
Wow. Well done. Favorite band?
What?
Favorite band?
Oh my gosh, favorite band. Okay, well, I'm a huge country music fan, so I love bands like Rascal Flatts. I love, I'm trying to think some of the others that I really enjoy seeing in person. I like Lone Star. They're a little older. Mm-hmm. I absolutely adore Tim McGraw. He's my favorite. I know he's not a band, but he's one of my favorites. And then you're going to laugh. I used to call myself a closet Backstreet Boys fan. I no longer say closet. Now I just love them. And so, yes, Backstreet Boys is another one.
Be proud.
That I like to listen to.
I love it. They're coming to Jacksonville soon, so come on down and we can all go see Backstreet.
Oh, that would be amazing. Could you imagine? Oh my gosh.
Who wins the Super Bowl 2021?
Stop it. You did not just ask me that. It's May. You guys, maybe this is sacrilegious, but I can't even get excited about the schedule in May. Like, wake me when it's August and we'll talk about it. But these people, and maybe this applies to you, so if it does, great. Yay. But I haven't even looked at my favorite team's schedule. I can't. It's May. I've got NBA and NHL playoffs coming up. We've got baseball. We've got Aaron Rodgers drama. Like, I cannot memorize a schedule and decide how many games my team wins in May.
Who wins the NBA title?
That's a great question. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Do I want to go to the East? I don't know. I don't trust any of them. I really don't. So I would love to say, like, you know, I'll take a flyer. I'm going to go Phoenix. I know that's crazy, and it probably won't happen, but I love what Phoenix has done this year, and I think they're hardcore. Although Miami's another one that's primed and ready, and they have a tune to them as well. And if you're superstitious, it looks like they may be the 5 seed like they were a year ago. So I like dark horses. I'll go Phoenix just for the hell of it.
All right, and final question. What is the funniest thing your dog Penny does?
Oh, for heaven's sakes. This dog, she's crazy. You know, we have a ramp now. So she's 11 and a half years old. So I'm the weirdo who stops at the ramp stops at the rest areas and has to haul out the dog ramp.
Aww.
And like, I know she's so sweet though. I love her so much. So I'd say the funniest thing that she does is that, now when we are at rest areas or we're even going to the grocery store in the morning, I'll take her in the car. I have to coax her up the ramp. So here's Mama coaxing the dog up the ramp. Sometimes I have to give her a boost in the butt because, you know, I know she's so sweet. Anyway, yeah, she's adorable. She's also figured out how to, so she's on antibiotics right now. She's figured out how to eat the treat that's wrapped around the pill and spit out the pill.
Oh, yes.
How does that happen? Yes. I don't know. How do you even do that? The dog is too smart for her own good. Oh, and one more thing. Sorry. Funny thing she does, she rolls in everyone else's yard in the entire neighborhood. Like, I guess our yard's not good enough. And I took her to the beach. We were in South Carolina last week. And she rolls in the sand. I have the, if you've not seen my Twitter, there's a photo of her, like, upside down, all fours in the air, rolling in sand. So she loves to roll. Roll in sand, roll in snow, roll in the neighbor's yards. Oh, yeah. We're just, we're rollers around here. High rollers, if you must know.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Well, I'm glad you had a great time on vacation, and we really appreciate
you
joining us tonight.
Well, yes, and make sure you have some buttered bread. Oh, I did it! Yes! You guys are awesome. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too, Amy.
That's Amy Lawrence of After Hours with Amy Lawrence right here on our 1010XL station. You hear her before Dan and Jeff. You can catch her. She is a one-woman show.
She only needs herself
because she is awesome.
I want to hang out with her so bad.
Yes.
We should have driven up to South Carolina while she was there.
Well, she needs to come down here for the Backstreet Boys concert when they're here in town.
There you go.
We can all go out. She is simply fantastic. But we do have more Aaron Rodgers with Brian Diardo of CBS. Mia O'Brien's going to join us and sit in for the next hour as well, next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
It's like a class reunion. Alumni Week on 1010XL.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels.
Driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Speaking of memories, there's some Backstreet Boys for you. I love it, RJ, love it. Here we are in our final hour of Alumni Week. And Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, I'm Taylor Dahl. We are joined now by CBS NFL writer Brian Diardo. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. And I have to agree on that Backstreet Boys. I feel like I'm at tea night all over again. Not bad for a Friday evening, I have to say.
Good start to the night.
Cosmic bowling is about to happen, right? Everybody.
That's right.
Brian, so one article popped up on my Twitter, and that kind of led me into a rabbit hole of a lot of your articles, which are recently really relevant to a lot of Jaguars things, which I feel like is the most national media attention the Jags have had in a long time. But with Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence and Tim Tebow, there's been a lot of attention pointed this way, which is, it's really cool. We're not used to that here. So I want to jump right into one of the ones about Tebow. So there's an article you wrote, and it was talking with Mike Ditka, who is actually kind of about the Tim Tebow thing. He's saying give him a try. The interesting part of the article to me, though, was him saying that tight ends, they're different now, and they don't block much anymore, is what he said in your article. And he said, so this is why he thinks it would work. The odd thing is, I feel like everybody else around here and other national media that I've heard, we're kind of saying that he's going to be a more blocking tight end, and that's why it'd be good because he wouldn't have to catch a ton of balls. So what was kind of going to depth about what Ditka was saying in this article about Tebow potentially working?
Yeah, and Jared Bell of USA Today did a great job. He spoke with Mike Ditka and also Kellen Winslow, another Hall of Fame tight end, Shannon Sharp, Rick Doc Walker. So these are kind of a who's who of tight ends, and Kellen Winslow agreed that he also thinks that Tim Tebow, you know, could be a successful tight end. And Mike Ditka's thought also was more just, why not? Let's give him a try. They need some help at that position, obviously, as you guys know. And I think the other thing, too, is it has changed. I mean, Mike Ditka was right, especially when he played in the 60s and 70s, where a tight end that could catch was kind of a luxury, not a necessity. And it's a necessity in today's game. And even, I mean, 4 years ago, the offense Jacksonville used to get to an AFC championship game, even that is outdated. I don't know if any offense could use that to get back to that type of a game. So, you know, with Tim Tebow, I think what Mike Ditka was alluding to is he probably would be more of an H-back, certainly capable of blocking, albeit that would be an adjustment for him. He's never been asked to do that at a professional level. And that being said, I do think he knows how to do it. He's a professional athlete. He did play more than quarterback growing up. He also was a running quarterback, so he was, I'm sure, in his share of piles and in the trenches and enduring hits. But yeah, I mean, you see a lot more of that in today's game. You look at Travis Kelce, the way that he's used. They put him in motion a lot. Even Rob Gronkowski, he lines up in the slot quite often. Eric Ebron in Pittsburgh, he's almost never asked to block. So I think that's more of what he was thinking, where 20 years ago in that NFL, you know, Ben Coates, you know, that era, probably wasn't going to work. But in today's NFL, I think that you can take a shot at a guy like Tim Tebow who has athleticism but might not necessarily be a great blocker.
Hey, Brian, what do you think about Travis Etienne, not just as a running back, but in the versatile ways the Jaguars can use him?
Well, I love the fact that Coach Meyer wanted to keep him with Trevor Lawrence. That security blanket, those two knowing each other. You saw a lot of teams doing that with reuniting college teammates, and I love that idea. Also, I mean, Najee Harris was gone, so it was kind of easy for them. They took the next available guy, and I think with Etienne, he's very versatile. I love his cutback ability. He's got really good vision, and I think for what he can do for that offense is he can get you some good inside running, and Jacksonville has really good guard play, very good guard play, so he can exploit that. He can pick up the necessary yards, and more so, you look at the other running backs they have, James Robinson, Carlos Hyde, who played for Coach Meyer at Ohio State, my alma mater, throwing that in there. But, you know, I think that they complement each other so well. And I think that Robinson can help him. And I don't think Robinson is an unselfish guy. I think, you know, obviously he was someone that kind of burst onto the scene last year. A lot of people didn't expect him. So I think they complement each other well. And I think that his catching ability and his rapport with Trevor Lawrence is really going to make them a dangerous group. And with a 17-game season, you have to have multiple good running backs. You can't just have one. They didn't need a running back there, but I think they made the right decision taking him with that pick.
Hey, Brian. So today, Friday's press conference with Packers coach Matt LaFleur, obviously asked about Aaron Rodgers, and he said obviously they want him back in the worst way. Haven't really heard much from Aaron Rodgers. Where do you see this working out?
So Aaron Rodgers compared their general manager to Jerry Krause, allegedly. So if you're going to go back to like the whole Michael Jordan Last Dance thing, you know, MJ came back knowing it was going to be his last year. So my indication, honestly, is that and the Packers do hold the power here. I mean, if Rodgers doesn't want to play, they can dig their heels in all they want. I do think that Denver, as reported during the draft, I do think that they have notified Green Bay, hey, if the worst happens, we are willing to deal, which I think is one of the reasons why Denver did not draft a quarterback with their top 10 pick. I don't see that happening. I do see Rodgers coming back. I don't know if it's going to be a harmonious ending, but I think we could be seeing a potential last dance situation where him and Devontae Adams, who's also been verbal. I actually spoke with him earlier this week. He wasn't as open with me. Maybe I have to bulk up my investigative journalistic skills. But he did tell other reporters after me that, yes, he would consider potentially leaving Green Bay with Aaron. So they might come back for a last dance, and that's what I ultimately think will happen. I think he will come back for one more year. If things get better, potentially 22 and beyond, but I would at least just bank on now him coming back.
Hey, Brian, Mia O'Brien, late addition to the party here, actually just walked in the door to join the girls here on Helmets and Heels, powered by Tire Outlet. As we're talking Aaron Rodgers, obviously if he is to leave the Packers, the front runner, the contender to get him is the Denver Broncos. They, of course, come to play the Jaguars week 2. While we're on the subject of potential quarterbacks the Jaguars could face, and I'm not sure if you guys have touched on this yet, give me your opinion on the landscape of the AFC South as we start heading into 2021, especially the quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, the AFC South is way up in the air with Deshaun Watson, obviously. No one really knows what's going on there, and Tyrod Taylor would come in and replace him if he is not able to play. And I think when I looked at the Jaguars' schedule, I have them potentially winning between 6 or 7 games on the conservative side. I mean, they lost 5 games last year by single digits. So, you know, the 1-15 record I don't think is indicative of the talent on this roster. So, obviously, if Deshaun Watson isn't playing, and those were 2 of the games I included in winnable games for the Jaguars this year, I don't think that Tannehill, he's obviously proven beyond his Miami days, he's a very good quarterback. Is he a game changer? I'm not really sure. And if Derrick Henry is bottled up, you can beat them. Carson Wentz, you know, a lot of question marks there. A lot of question marks about Carson Wentz. I think he's going to be set up for a lot more success in Indy. Really good offensive line. Jonathan Taylor, good running back. T.Y. Hilton and the young receivers they have there. But, I mean, you could easily say this time a year from now that Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback in that division. And I think because of the lack of star power in that division at quarterback, especially if Watson isn't there, I think that that opens up the gate even more for Jacksonville quickly, you know, getting back to the 6-7 win picture this year. And then next year, if you can get more free agents and have another good draft, you could go further than that.
This is what we want to hear, because we want to have the best quarterback in the league, first of all. But let's start with the AFC South, because that has been an issue already. Brian, we're going to start wrapping things up here. So I have a final question, because I saw you had a list where you kind of had under the radar games. And in that list of under the radar games, you had the Lawrence versus Burrow matchup, which happens to be the Jaguars, aside from London, only primetime game, which a lot of people here weren't exactly happy about. But that will be a Thursday night game. So what exactly jumps out about that game to make it one of the under the radar ones?
Well, it's a rematch of the 2019, you know, championship game between Burrow and LSU and Trevor Lawrence, and two highly touted guys coming out, the last two number one overall picks. What I'm mostly excited for is to see which quarterback has a stronger command of his offense and can utilize his complementary weapons. Obviously, Burrow's going to have an advantage because he's got 1 year in the Bengals system, but I do think, as we talked about earlier, with what the Jaguars have on their offensive line, they have to have their left tackle position get better, especially if Walker Little can step up there. But I love what Jacksonville's done, giving Lawrence a nice, you know, complimentary group, along with the running backs, DJ Shark, Marvin Jones, who I thought is going to do a nice job replacing Keelan Cole, Chenault, Philip Dorsett, maybe Tim Tebow. I think it's going to come down to which quarterback can spread the wealth and take advantage of his complimentary weapons, and knowing when to strike, knowing when to catch that defense sleeping. So I think both quarterbacks for me are a lot of fun to watch. I'm so happy there's new blood now in the NFL. And I think it's time for fans to rally around these young teams and cheer for some of these young players coming up, because they're the future of our league. There's no better time to start watching them than right now.
I agree. We had, Brian, I think it was last summer, we kind of predicted what the season would be, like the season of wide receivers or the season of whatever. And one of my things was kind of the season of out with the old and in with the new. And we've seen a lot of that. So it's definitely going to be exciting. But Brian DiArdo, writer, NFL writer for CBS Sports, thank you so much for coming on with us, and keep pushing out the content, because I love all of it.
Yeah, I'm going to try to take some time off this weekend, but I appreciate that, guys. It was fun being on. Hope to do it again soon. Thank you very much.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's still on for me to be Friday.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what to do.
We didn't mean you have to get back to work right now.
Go put more articles out for us to read.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have another guest joining us. Allie McDeal is going to hop on right after this break on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Seven years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
It's Alumni Week here on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. And Allie McDeal, of course, would have to come on. And I feel like, Allie, we probably should have just kept you a little bit longer Wednesday after your poker show. What were we thinking?
I know. I'll be honest with you, ladies. I felt so terrible because I didn't realize that you were coming in, and I would have planned to stay and hang out with you beautiful, fantastically talented women for the remainder of the evening. That would have been great.
Well, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing well. How are you, ladies?
I am great. Lauren has already sent out the invite for the next tournament. So you want to tell us the next 1010XL tournament?
Yes, I'm so excited. So we just finalized the details. The next 1010XL tournament will be July 7th. So that will be at Best Bet Jacksonville. And, of course, Frangie and crew will have their show live. We will do our show live from the room as well. The tournament will start at 6 o'clock p.m., $110 buy-in with 5 bounties. And I don't know that the bounties have been confirmed yet. So we never know who's ripe for the picking, right? Like, maybe we'll pick up a few Jaguars players to be some of our bounties. And that would be fun.
I feel like we should
get Trevor in there. Does he play poker?
That's a good question. I would assume that he would be excellent at it because I think he's good at everything.
Yeah. Yes.
But
I think
our bounties
have a good poker face.
Yeah, our bounties as of now, unless they change, are Donna, Prosser, Matt Hayes, and Denny Thompson. I just haven't told you yet because a couple of them have said, let me check and get back to you, but I'm pretty sure I can do it, and so I don't let you know until they're 100%.
I feel like we could ask David Garrard, but I feel like his wife Mary would be better. For sure. She's better at everything.
I feel like we should ask David if Mary could play that. That's how that sounds to me. Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, you know, we definitely have to get Trevor Lawrence in there. We got to get him in the poker room. We got to get him in one of these tournaments. Put a bounty on him. I feel like that would be a lot of fun, right?
Yes,
that's a good time.
Be.
We got to get them to represent. That would be fantastic. So, yeah, so we got the 1010 XL tournament coming up. You know, as we talked about a little bit yesterday, on Wednesday on the show, is that, you know, poker is really thriving right now. There's this huge boom. Everybody's coming out to play. They're kind of loosening the restrictions. They're taking down the barriers across the country in terms of, you know, having the plastic shields, still requiring face masks. But tournament poker is exploding, and everybody is excited to be able to play these things that they've kind of been on the fritz for the last year and a half, right? So we have the Greater Orange Park Open coming up this weekend. It is a one-day event, which is a lot of fun, right? So these tournaments, generally in the past, they have been multi-day tournaments, and people really like that. They like the long structures, the long amount of play time, and really be able to come in and spend an entire weekend playing poker. If you want to travel, there's ability to be able to kind of compensate for that when you have a multi-day tournament. But this is structured a little differently. So it's a $300 buy-in. It's a single-day event. You can play tomorrow. It starts at noon. So you'll play all the way from the beginning to the end tomorrow, starting at noon. $300 buy-in. You start with $15,000 in chips. The structure is really very forgiving. You have plenty of opportunity to play and move some chips around. So if you're looking for a tournament, Orange Park is the place to be this weekend. And then, of course, the Car Player Poker Tour is going to be joining us again in June. And their series kicks off June 28th and will run through middle of July. There are 11 or 12 total events, and the main event will feature a $2,500 buy-in. And just put all these tournaments on your calendar, mark them down, be ready to come and join us and play some tournament poker. Also, of course, there's cash games going on in both properties, $400 and $500 high hands all weekend long, both in Jacksonville and Orange Park. So if you're not much of a tournament player and you want to play some cash, those are excellent places to be and hopefully pick up one of those high hand winners.
Yeah, all sounds fantastic. All right, Allie, before we let you go, what is your favorite memory, whether it's from a poker show or whether it's from playing in a poker tournament, favorite memory?
Oh my gosh, favorite memory. Okay, you put me on the spot. But
I did.
The first thing that came to my mind. Mm-hmm. So my husband, I met my husband when I was 17 years old. And the very first poker tournament I ever played, we played at the Commerce in L.A. And he convinced me to play in this tournament. And I said, I've never played in a tournament before ever in my life. He said, you need to play this one. It's going to be a lot of fun. The field's going to be soft. It's going to be great. I said, okay, fine. So I buy into the tournament and I'm playing, and we both had flights. So he was prepared to take me to the airport. This was before we were just friends at the time. And we get down to the final three tables and we're about four people away from the money. And my husband and I get seated at the same table, and he ends up busting me out of the tournament right before we hit the money. No, one of the funniest things about this is when he was trying to get me to date him. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going out with you now. Just knock me out of the tournament. My first tournament ever, you convinced me to play. I feel like I'm doing so good. And then you bust me. So, yeah, I feel like that might be one of the best stories I have.
I can't believe you ever went out with him.
I know.
I feel like he still owes me for that one, ladies. He still owes me for that one.
Allie, I have just a little funny story, too, because one on the poker show, Dustin is on your poker show. And so one of the first nights that I ran into him and realized, like, I would hear you guys say Dustin, but when I saw him in person, I don't know if people remember, but there used to be, like, a bar/club in Jacksonville called The Pearl. And Dustin used to be, like, my bartender at The Pearl. He was the guy that I would always go to because he made the best drinks. Did you know he bartended there?
I did, but, you know, the only reason that I knew that is because he told me that he used to be your bartender. Which is what's funny. So I was like, wait, are you the greatest bartender or is she the biggest lush?
Which one is it?
A little from column A, a little from column B. Awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Allie. This has been a delightful week, and we're so happy that we ended our alumni week having you on. And you have always come on with us with such grace, and we love having you on. And we love that you always involve us in your poker tournament. So thank you, Allie.
Yeah, I'm so happy. And, you know, since it is the end of the week and it's super happy Friday, I feel like let me give you guys a $50 tournament voucher that you can give to one of your lucky listeners. And hopefully they can use that for the Greater Orange Park Open or the Card Player Poker Tour that's coming up or any other tournament that they'd like at either property. So, yes. You know, do you want me to pick my favorite color?
Well, if a caller knows your favorite color, that's how they should win. No, pick either a color or a caller number.
Let's go with 3 for red.
3.
Sounds good.
641-1010.
50 bucks on a Friday.
641-1010.
Thanks, Allie.
Thanks, ladies. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Allie McDeal, the Best Bet Poker Show. All right, so now on the other side, time to catch up with Mia O'Brien next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it.
It's a blast through the past. Alumni Week on 1010XL.
Sports with a glass of Chardonnay. Helmets and Heels.
Driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Donna Murphy, Taylor Dahl, I'm Lauren Brooks. That is RJ Saunders playing some Montel Jordan for us on a Friday night. I will tell y'all, I am normally at this point in time drinking a Chardonnay since our lead-in had Chardonnay in it at the Yards, because the Fringes show is always at the Yards on a Friday. One person who loves the Yards, that would be Mia O'Brien from First Coast News. She joins us officially now, even though she's been with us now for a little while. But Mia, how much do you love the Yards?
Oh, I absolutely love the Yards, and I'm sure Chris Reimer is listening to this, so shout out to Chris Reimer for hooking me up a few weeks ago. We got my cousin in town from Baltimore. We got him out on the Yards. I know his mom and dad, when they drive back down next winter when they snowbird in Naples, he was driving their car back. I know they have already said they want to play the Yards next November.
Nice. I certainly understand. All right, so the Jaguars schedule comes out Wednesday evening. If you follow things, certain people on Twitter, things started to come out a little bit earlier than 8 o'clock that night. I'm going to go on record saying the game at the Seahawks is the hardest game. What about you?
I agree. And I think it goes beyond the 12th man. Obviously, the Jaguars have not had a great run of success coming off the London week and the bye week. Because it's a little bit earlier in the season, I'm curious how that factors into it. The Jaguars have not been to London this early since 2017 when they played their week 3. So I do think that that presents it. And then, of course, you're also going to the West Coast. So, I mean, between London and Seattle, that's a 12-hour difference in 2 weeks' time. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, I agree that that's definitely a tough one. I think that going to SoFi Stadium and playing Los Angeles Rams, obviously people are extremely high on them because of the acquisition of Matthew Stafford. In my opinion, I think that that defense, yes, that defense with He Who Must Not Be Named, is really the reason you should be scared to go out there. But because of those are two West Coast trips, and the Jaguars in the last, I believe, 8 years have only won one game west of the Mississippi, that being at Denver week 4 2 years ago. And so any trip to the West Coast is going to be difficult for this franchise.
Agreed.
So this is towards you, Mia, and also Lauren and Donna, because I don't even think we've really hashed it out. But with the primetime games, that's kind of been a lot of people have been talking about it on Twitter, because once again, it's the typical Thursday night. And then the London are the two that the Jags got. Now, I heard during the week, a lot of the stuff, I was kind of just listening to reactions to that. And one of the things that I've heard a few times was that they haven't deserved it. You have to deserve it. It's not about Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer all are not going to automatically give you primetime games. You have to deserve it is what people keep saying. But it's so odd to me, because I'll throw my own other team under the bus, that they've been terrible and they barely, I mean, got really lucky to even win 8 games last season and have 5 primetime games this year. And Dallas, who's won 2 playoff games in however many years, get primetime, and they have the tied most with the Packers this year with primetime games. So it's kind of weird to me. I don't think it's as much of deserving as it is they want Dallas. They want the Packers because it's Aaron Rodgers, but they want Dallas, they want New York, they want these teams. And so it's a little frustrating to me that you couldn't give not even a Zach Wilson versus Trevor Lawrence or a Burrow versus Trevor Lawrence. You don't think that some people would rather watch that than another Dallas season?
Well, Burrow Trevor is the primetime game.
Yeah, which is the Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm saying like
a
Sunday or Monday.
Yeah. Right. To give it the Sunday or the Monday night.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, we just had Brian DiArdo on and he was saying, you want to show the superstars of tomorrow. You don't want to just have Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers every single week, especially with the game itself leaning more towards the college game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't predict how successful Trevor Lawrence is going to be here, how successful Joe Burrow.
What? You can't?
Well, I mean, or even how successful Joe Burrow. I mean, he obviously had a pretty good rookie year. He's coming off a massive knee injury. Mm-hmm. I can't predict how good he will be coming off that injury, let alone in his second season in the NFL. But if you're the NFL, you're also trying to market your next generation, aren't you?
And I think that's what really, yeah. And it, because how many years have we been watching this? And we're seeing, I mean, with Roethlisberger, I feel like he's at the end. We just saw Drew Brees leave. Now, Tom Brady, who knows, he might have 20 more years. I don't know. But a lot of these guys, Philip Rivers, gone or about to be gone. So why would you not want to showcase a lot of these younger talent in a season?
They
like
are,
this?
Taylor. They're going to have 5 primetime games of Justin Fields.
Yeah. Well, maybe if he started.
They are showing the next generation.
Like we, Amy Lawrence earlier, she joined us, Mia, and she was saying that she doesn't think it's better for Fields to be sitting behind Andy Dalton for a little bit. So I personally think that it's week 4 or 5, I think Justin Fields may be in, but that's a couple prime times that he's not playing. So in my eye, they're not doing it for Justin Fields. They're doing it because it's the Bears, and I'll admit that myself.
So as part of the new agreements, the league can allow the increased ability to flex games to both Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football.
Right.
So what helps the Jaguars is that their games against the Jets and against New England are 1 o'clock games later in the season. So if there are playoff hopes, implications, or if other teams say there's injuries to players or whatnot to other games that mean nothing that are Sunday night and Monday night, those games for the Jags can be flexed into those.
If the Jets and Patriots do their job, clearly the Jaguars are going to do their job.
But even that Seahawks, no, but that Seahawks game too that you mentioned, right, Lauren, I do think that that's week 8, and that would be the first week, at least from what I read, that would be the first week that flexing becomes a possibility for teams. Mm-hmm. So it's a little early.
And it's already a 4 o'clock game, right, so that would be an easy flip.
It is week 8, and it's Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And it's spooky out in
Seattle. So there's your little treat. That's the treat that you get that night.
I love it. But, we should note, though, and this is something that I didn't realize, because I did anticipate the Jaguars getting at least one Sunday or Monday night game. Mm-hmm. I felt like the novelty of Urban, if nothing else, right, generates that.
Because Tebow.
Well, because if Dallas is America's team, I mean, what's Ohio State?
Yeah.
You tell me. When Peyton Manning was the number one overall pick and a rookie, when Andrew Luck was the number one overall pick and a rookie, their teams, and granted this was before Thursday Night Football, their teams were given one primetime game their rookie season. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, Kyler Murray had 6 his first year, or, you know, even Joe Burrow last year, they only had one. And so if you look at history, we shouldn't be surprised, but I was a little upset not even getting a 4 o'clock for the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, to come out here for their fan base, you know, they're going to be tuning in at 10 a.m. or whatever it is out in Arizona. You would think maybe even that one, that's 2 number one picks going head to head. Yeah, I was a little surprised by that.
And I think that I wasn't expecting 5. You know, I was expecting, and it was more of based around, we read Mike DiRocco tweeted after that, it's been 13 years since a Sunday night primetime and 10 since a Monday. So more of that, I think. Like, not only is it just because, okay, yeah, it's his rookie season and other guys haven't got it their rookie season, but a combined 23 years between a Monday and Sunday that one of them hasn't happened, and you can't, with Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence, give one Sunday night or Monday night game, because, you know, pretty much the majority of the country want to watch Trevor Lawrence. He's been talked about for how long now?
Well, and obviously now looking back, the NFL should have flexed one of the Jaguars games in 2017 because everyone wanted to watch that defense and the way they were flying around. All right, so tomorrow, rookie minicamp, media gets to see 1 hour. I saw a video earlier on ESPN of Kyle Pitts practicing with the Falcons, so that's super exciting. Who are you going to have your eyes on?
Ooh, I'm actually going to be looking at some of the undrafted rookies. Okay. I did a story for First Coast News yesterday, this morning. It ran yesterday and this morning. Really cool story. Nose tackle Kenny Randall out of Charleston, College of Charleston. This guy's actually 25 years old, 305 pounds, runs a 4.9 40. We love speed.
Oh, yes.
We love speed. Actually from New Jersey, so I got to give some love to my fellow Jerseyans. But the crazy part is he's 25 years old because of academic reasons. He was kicked off the team at Charleston after his freshman year. He spent 2 years working at Sam's Club making rotisserie chickens.
Dude, those are the best chickens.
I agree. It is some good chicken.
Apparently, though.
$5 of the fattest chickens, man.
They're super moist, too.
Yes.
I'm here for it. Apparently, he wasn't.
That's how he got to 305 pounds.
There you go.
Those are some fat chickens.
Exactly. And so, you know, kind of decided, eh, maybe this isn't the lifestyle I want to be leading. I want to keep chasing that football dream. Went back to Charleston, was a two-time all-conference selection, and now here he is with an opportunity with the Jaguars. And so I think that's going to be a really fun storyline if that guy actually makes the team.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But also, obviously, defensive line is something that Urban Meyer has stressed over the last 4 months. And so I think that he does have a really good shot to make the team, especially since they only drafted Jay Tufele. And obviously with Tyson Alualu going back to Pittsburgh, that opened up a spot as well. So
he opted out of the Jaguars.
Yeah, he opted out of the Jaguars. He, well, and then also I think, you know, the big question, of course, in town is how much will we see Trevor Lawrence do as he's recovering from that labrum surgery? But also I'm curious how much we see Andre Sisco and Dylan Moses do, the undrafted linebacker out of Alabama, who by all accounts before he tore his ACL 2 years ago was going to be a first round draft pick.
Right.
I think that that's a real diamond in the rough if you're the Jags. And so I'm curious because he did play all of last year. He had another meniscus surgery in February. I'm curious to see what those two guys do. I expect Walker Little to be 100% go, but those two, I'm very curious, in addition to Trevor, of what they'll actually be able to do.
Kenny Randall takes that Marshawn Lynch quote, the take care of your chicken, to a whole new level.
Speaking of food, have y'all seen the video of Ben Cleveland, the former Georgia offensive lineman?
Oh, did I see it? Oh. If anyone out there just watched First Coast News at 5:30, you heard it. I don't care if he doesn't play for the Jaguars. We have to share that with the people.
You got that right. So I don't think Donna has seen it. So just to catch you up quickly. So Ben Cleveland, his nickname is Big Country, Georgia offensive lineman. Now he plays for the Ravens. And so someone got wind of the fact that he was on a squirrel diet. So he basically just says, well, it wasn't really a squirrel diet. It's just, that's what I had left in the freezer. All the deer meat was gone. So yeah, I had some squirrels deep frozen or whatever, flash fried, whatever it was.
Deep frozen.
Yeah, no, he legit had them frozen and he goes, yeah, so if you're hungry, you just fry up a couple squirrels.
Have it with some bread and butter.
I will say I have some Southern roots. I have never eaten squirrel. Have any of y'all?
I have not. I will tell you, so my mom was dating this guy for a little while. I didn't like him from the beginning, but he had
because he cooked squirrels.
So he had a son, and his son was already odd, and they lived out in like Stark area. That's where like they're from. So
they fry the squirrels.
Yes, that's where the squirrels came from. But I'll never forget. I was in high school. I think it was my junior year, and I got home from school, and I was looking for my after school snack, and I opened the freezer, and I saw this like. Foiled up something, and I was like, what is that? So I grab it.
Oh no.
And you could still see it was like foiled around the legs. It was like definitely a squirrel. And I remember being like, Mom, we got to get rid of these guys. Like, this is not working for me. This is not okay. JT comes, he's like, oh yeah, I killed that outside. And I was like, are you gonna eat it? Because I don't know if you should do that. And it was just one of those encounters where I'll never forget pulling out and like just knowing right away, being like, this is a squirrel in the freezer.
Oh my gosh.
Have you seen Christmas Vacation?
Yes. Yes. That's one of the best movies.
That's all I can picture is them trying to capture the squirrel and him asking, where is Eddie? He eats these things. Yeah. And her response is, oh, not since he learned they were high in cholesterol. No, well, I have never eaten a squirrel, and it is not on my bucket list, ever.
Neither have I, nor is it on mine. But speaking of high cholesterol, my other favorite takeaway that we saw social media across the league, Quinn Miners, D3, reppin', got to give a shout-out to the D3 guys, Wisconsin Whitewater, offensive lineman for the Denver Broncos. He likes to talk about letting the belly breathe, and so... Just go take a look. Search
his
Quinn Miners.
Belly.
He let it belly.
Not the squirrel's belly.
No, his belly. He's letting the belly breathe.
Does he have a crop top?
I couldn't tell if it was a matter of him rolling it up or... But
yeah, the Zeke crop top.
Yeah. Well, he plays
80s.
Center.
We're going 80s?
Yeah. He plays center or guard.
Walter Payton crop top.
Yeah, hold on. Here it is. The belly is breathing was the actual post by the Denver Broncos.
That sounds like yoga.
Yeah, the belly's breathing. He letting it hang. There it is.
Right,
oh, yeah, it's hanging. Yeah, no, I get it. So, Mia, you are back at First Coast News for the first time in well over a year. What are some news stories that you've got, or really sports stories, I shouldn't say news stories, sports stories that you've got coming up for first
Christmas? Ooh, well, we can just start with tonight, and I'm not sure if you guys touched on it yet, and I haven't actually looked at the final score
yet. No, we have not yet touched on it.
Okay, well, the Gators softball team was in
They won with a walk-off.
They were in a goodie with Missouri. Missouri rallied to tie that one up. We also have the JU women's lacrosse team currently in action down in Gainesville at the Gainesville Regional for the NCAA tournament down there, and so that's a story we'll be following as well, but... obviously, the focus this weekend is that hour-long practice that we're all going to spend the next, like, 3 weeks talking about at the bank tomorrow afternoon.
Well, we will all be following you on Twitter because you'll have access that a lot of people won't have. So I, you know, on my behalf at least, all the video, all of it. I know last year when I went to the first day we were allowed out at training camp, I took a video of Minshew, Dobbs, Luton, and...
Glennon,
thank you. Jumping over the hurdles. Like, I didn't even know if we were allowed to film it, but I thought, this is fun. People want to see this, right? It was one of those videos everybody reacted to it and loved it, just just analyzing different quarterbacks and how they, you know, just jump over the hurdle. Well, so all the video is welcome.
Well, all the video, number one, but also because Taylor texted me this morning and said that 1010XL was getting plenty of phone calls.
Oh, yeah. A million this morning.
Practice is not open to the public. Even then, was not open to the media today or Sunday, but we will be there for an hour tomorrow. So just keep it locked on all of our social handles and we'll keep you posted.
Perfect. Sounds good. All right. Let's now say hello. Thanks, Mia, for joining us. Let's now say hello to the Sports Den.
Now, the two-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping the rubber on the road with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
James Coleman's in the house. James, what's up?
Not much, but I see my own girl Mia here.
That's right.
I bet y'all don't know. I know something about Mia that you guys don't know.
Tell us. Tell us everything.
Mia, you're talking about things. She's eating things that I've never really eaten. Mm-hmm. And there's a specific type of thing that drives her crazy if they run out of it at Publix. And there's a, it's called pumpkin spice loaf or something like that. So I call her my pumpkin spice pilgrim. That's what Mia
long before, long before I did Helmets and Heels, I think this was like my first, like, I wasn't even here a full year yet, I don't think, in Jacksonville. And Denny and James were like, it's your birthday. Come be on the Sports Den. And it was October. My birthday's in October. And I had just come from Publix, and I was very disappointed. There was no pumpkin bread. And, like, every year my mom makes me pumpkin bread.
And I told her, I know some people get, some people who don't get our show, the Indiana show, but don't know if anybody recognizes this, but I'm a big black guy with dreads.
What?
Denny's a white guy. So a lot of our jokes are culturally appropriate because we're learning each other. But when Mia said that, I said, quite possibly. That's the whitest thing I've ever heard in
it
my
was,
life.
Well, we should also preface, too. It was my
hater. Whiter than squirrel?
Yeah.
It was her hate o'clock. She came
it was
in
literally,
her
it was
hate
my
o'clock
hate o'clock. Yeah.
Was running out of pumpkin spice loaf. And I'm like, I don't really, I mean, I guess it works. You're angry. And that makes you mad.
Really angry.
So that's fine.
Well, then, funny enough, like the next day, I don't know if he listened or not, but the buyer at my Publix literally came up to me and said, so what are you looking for? And I was like probably a week later, and I was like, well, I'm not going to lie, I was a little upset with your pumpkin selection. And he goes, I'll hook you up next year. And no lie, the next fall, there was a whole section just for pumpkin. I was so proud.
I'm going to try it.
We're still working, though, on slice and bake cookies. They only have those at Winn-Dixie. I'm a little upset. The Pillsbury, they don't really have those as, you know, prevalent at Publix. So we got to work on that.
Well, if they heard you,
I know, go tell them. He'll fix it.
Yeah, they'll fix it quickly. So, James, what does your weekend hold?
Man, I've only got one kid. Unfortunately, it's the active one. So, the one that I have to, like, do stuff. So,
feels your pain.
I'm going to go check out a couple of high schools, and they're scrimmaging. I'll take him around, run him real good so he can go to sleep. But other than that, I'm eating to live today.
Fuel.
So that I can eat to die one of these other days. Because I want, now we talked about Brazilian steakhouses, and now I must go to a Brazilian steakhouse this
cheat
weekend.
So have, like, you've never been to one?
Oh, I have.
Oh, okay.
That's, but I mean, I've been numerous times, but now I have to go by myself, even if it's by myself.
Are you one of the people that right away go up to, like, the buffet part and get stuff, or do you say?
No, that's rookie.
I know. That's what first time anybody ever said. They were like, skip that. And just wait for the meat, or you're full and you barely won't get
it. That's what they
meat.
Want you to do. Don't get me wrong. Like, it looks delicious. Like, they have some, like, I'm a charcuterie nut. Like, they've got all kinds of stuff up there for me to make a cheese board, but I didn't come there for cheese board. I came there for meat. So, like, I want all of the stuff. And I've been pacing myself, trying to, like, you know, lean up a little bit so that I can be hungry so that I can partake. I mean, I don't want no soda, just straight water with lime so I can even help digest that stuff faster. I want to break that. I want to break them, but I don't know if I will, but I'm going to have a good time.
I like it. All right. Well, we will be listening. Thanks, James.
All right.
Thanks, Mia, again for joining us. Thanks to all of our guests. It would take way too long for me to name all of them, but it has been such a fun alumni week. Thanks to 1010XL, certainly Steve Griffin, for setting us up to have a whole week of Helmets and Heels shows. And thanks again to Mr. Chubby's last night. It was so much fun. For Donna Murphy, for Taylor Dahl, for RJ Saunders, I'm Lauren Brooks. Everybody have a fantastic weekend.